and the top line on Tzadik Vav and Medalev, the Gemara is trying to explain the Machlokes HaTanaim. The Mishnah describes the situation that the Goyim threw tefillin in the garbage, and the religious Jew, and there's no error, so he can't carry the tefillin home. But he doesn't want to leave the tefillin in the garbage. The garbage collector is going to collect it and burn it. Or it's going to snow on top of it, it's going to rain on top of it, it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be ruined. So it's a design for the tefillin. So the Tanakhama, in the Mishnah, it's not Mishnah, it's Rav Meir. Tanakhama is Rav Meir says, you can wear the tefillin on Shabbos, one shal yad and one shal rosh, that's all. And Rabbi Gamliel disagrees, you can put on two shal yad and two shal rosh. So one's trying to understand, what are they fighting about? Because the din is when you have a sreifa, when you have a dleika, and you want to say, and there's no erev, so you're not allowed to carry, so you want to save all of your clothes, so you can put on many shirts and many pieces of underwear, one on top of the other, on top of the other, as long as you're wearing it in a normal fashion. So why can't you put on two or three shal yads, two or three shal roshes? So the Gemara says no. Rabbi Gamliel only says two, because mokum yesh bayad laniach shnei tefillin, mokum yesh barosh laniach shnei tefillin. There's no room to put three tefillin, normal size. So, but if you're going to wear the tefillin in the wrong place, that's not called kederach hatachshit, that's not called kederach levisha, that's called haitzor, that you're not allowed to do. So Rabbi Gamliel says you're only allowed to wear two at a time, and Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to wear, you're not even allowed to wear two at a time. So why does Rabbi Meir say you're not allowed to wear two? Does he disagree with this assumption that Mokum Yesh Barosh and Mokum Yesh Barad Lamir Shnei Tzum? So Gemara wants to say no, probably everybody agrees to that. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir, they both agree there is enough room on the arm to put two shoyad, but it's an issue of Bal Tosif. The mayor holds that if you put on two shal yad, and the din requires only one shal yad, if you put on two shal yad, it'll be a violation of Bal Tosif. And Rabbi Gamliel, for some reason or another, thinks that it's not Bal Tosif. So the mob is giving different suggestions. What is the machlekes whether it should be Bal Tosif or not? So we got up to the top line on Tzadik Vav and Aleph. So the Gemara...
I just want to confirm, with the extra clause, is only to stay in the Tzadik Vav or any time you want to.
The Mishnah and Shabbos talks about saving from a sreifa. Why should a person
want
to wear
extra? If you want to,
sure.
I'm going to put an extra shirt on.
I think it's also
I
think so.
I was talking to somebody and he disagreed with it, so I want to make sure.
I think so. We should look it up in Shulchan Aruch. I think it's more convenient to bring it to someone else.
That's why the heads are all called the sreifa, because it's more convenient.
Anyway. I think
that's
so.
Right.
You must have got, if it's wrong, you got the mistake from it. I think so. I think it's permissible to wear a few shirts one on top of the other, even to bring it and carry it to someone else. Yeah. So the Gemara wants to know, and what's about state and machlokes between Rav Meir, the Tanakhama, and Rav Gamliel? Are you allowed to wear two or only one at a time? It's an issue of Bal Tosif. So what's the Shaila? So the Gemara says, on the bottom of Amud Beis, that's what we discussed last week, the Gemara was assuming that you only violate Bal Tosif if you do the Hoysofa in the same fashion that you do the Ikra Mitzvah. So if you hold Mitzvah's Tzrichas Kavanah, if you hold that if you do a Mitzvah and you didn't have Kavanah, let that person is blowing Shofar or Rosh Hashanah in the morning, practicing to be the Baal Tekeah. He doesn't have mind to be Yotzi, but he doesn't have mind. The fair is not to be Yotzi. He's practicing. He's on the prayer. They always blow Shofar in the morning. They wake everybody up in Yeshiva. The Baal Tekeah always practices. So a guy's practicing in the morning, and then it turns out later on he doesn't feel well, and he can't go to shul. So was he yotze with the tekiyas that he did in the morning? But he's saying, no, mitzvah stichus kavana. Since he didn't have kavana lotzeis, he's not yotze. So that's a big machlokes in the Gemara. So the mitzvah stichus kavana, mitzvah say stichus kavana. So you want to suggest?
Did it from the center on a tekiyas?
Yeah. Yes, it's not in the right order, so for sure he's not Yetzir. So if he was practicing the way it says in the Maksud, Kiyah, Shvarim, Tzur, Kiyah, everything the way it says. Yeah, if he has Kavan, Shalolot, so he said, then we pass in that L'cholot, then he's not Yetzir. There is one opinion that, yeah, but in Shulchan Aruch we have accepted the opinion if he has Hefach Kavan, so for sure you're not Yetzir. But where the mitzvah tzvichas kavana, positive kavana, that's the machlokes. So we might suggest at one point maybe that's the machlokes. If you hold mitzvah tzvichas kavana, so you can only be in violation of Bal Tosif if you have in mind by doing the hoysof, he's putting on two shal yads, because he holds that enhances the mitzvah of tefillin. He knows in Chumash it says you put on one shal yad, but I hold that it's nice if you put on two shal yads. It enhances the mitzvah. But if he's putting on two shal yads, he puts on one for the sake of the mitzvah, the other one in order to save it from the garbage can. He doesn't have in mind the shame mitzvah.
So the Gemara says, we should depend on the issue whether mitzvah sichas kavana. If, let's say, if in order to fulfill the mitzvah you need kavana, then in order to violate balkaisiv, you need kavana l'shem mitzvah, which he doesn't have. He has kavana l'shem hatzolah, he does not kavana l'shem mitzvah. But if you hold mitzvah ain't sichas kavana, that in order to be yotze, you didn't need kavana, so then to violate balkaisiv, you also wouldn't need kavana. Because the assumption of the Gemara is, saying Gemara Suki, you only violate balkaisiv if you do the oisofa in the same fashion that you have to do the Ikra Mitzvah. So then we're up to Gemara giving about five or six different suggestions, because it doesn't say what the Nekudas HaMachlekes is between Rav Meir and Rabbi Gamliel, between Tanakam and Rabbi Gamliel. So on the top of Tzadik Brother Menalos, on the top line, Gemara gives another suggestion. We're shooting off different suggestions. Viva, you say Ma, and if you want to, you can say another possibility, the Kuli Alma. Both the Tanakam and Rabbi Gamliel agree, let's say, Loboy Kavana. Nobody holds a need kavana in order to be yotze a mitzvah, but the shaila is rocha lava mishum baltaisim come free. And there's still room to have a machlekes. Tana kama sova lava mishum baltaisim lo boi kavan. Tana kama says, since in order to fulfill the mitzvah you don't need kavana, in order to violate baltaisim also you don't need kavana. Even though he's wearing two shayats l'shem hatzolah, not l'shem mitzvah. What he wears l'shem mitzvah, the Gemara is working on the assumption that Shabbos is mantilah. The whole few suggestions in the Gemara working, there is a machlekes hataran, whether Shabbos, are you obligated to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yantav or not? So the Gemara doesn't know what these tanoim hold, Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Gamliel. The first thing was assuming that they both hold Shabbos is man tefillin. So one of the shal yad and one shal rosh has a mind l'shem mitzvah too, and the other one has a mind l'shem hatzolah. So that's the machlekes. Tanakam esav al avishin bal tayisiv lo boi kavan. Reb Meir holds it just like the B.O.T. don't need kavan, so to violate bal tayisiv also don't need. Gamliel says, no, it's not the same. To be yotze the mitzvah, you don't need kavana, so of course, if you did the mitzvah, but in order to violate bal tayisiv, that's only if you had kavan. Gamliel esav al avishin bal tayisiv boi kavan. Then the Gemara says another possibility, the boy is Eimon, if you want, he can say another possibility, what's the Nekudas HaMachlekes is.
He says, Beilula, if you have an extra flower, the upside down, that will have the upside down, because if it's not, then it will be in the Av Kavuna, it will be Bateza.
No, the Gemara there says in Sukkah, if you add the rule of the Esrik, the Hadassim and the Arabi, then he takes some roses and some lilacs and some lilies in addition, so he's only in violation of Balteisim if he holds the Mosek Kedah Kedah Kedah.
Even though that's never in mind to have a Mosek.
No, that's going to be right to the same Shaila. Does he have to have in mind Lava, Boy Kavana, Lo Boy Kavana, and then the same Shaila? But the Gemara says there, this you say, this premise, that you only violate Balteisim if you hold the Hoysach of the extra fifth man, Kedah Kedah. If you do the Hoysafa in a fashion that you wouldn't be yet to the mitzvah, then it's not a violation of Balteis. That's what Gemara says here also. If you hold mitzvah sichas kavana, then Lava also needs kavana. Because you're not, otherwise you're not doing the Hoysafa in the same way you're supposed to do the Ikra mitzvah. And then Gemara has on the fifth line another suggestion. The boy is saying, and if you want, you can say another suggestion, what's in a kudus and akhlekes? Either seal on the Shabbos mantrin, if these Tanaim, Rabbi Tanakam and Rabbi Gamliel, if they would have held that on Shabbos and Yantin you're obligated to wear tefillin, is the Kul Yamul, Allah b'boi kavana, v'lo lotzis b'boi kavana. Everyone would agree that mitzvahs ain't tzvichas kavana. And in Eile, if mitzvahs ain't tzvichas kavana, so to violate Baal Teisiv, you don't have to have kavana l'shem mitzvah on the Hoysofer. You're doing the Hoysofer the same way you do the Ikra mitzvah, just like you don't need kavana lotzis on the Ikra mitzvah, you don't need kavana l'aber either. So what's the machlokes? Racha b'lava shalom bismanu kamifligi. The machlokes is because they both assume that Shabbos and Yontav is lazman tefillin. So the argument between Reb Meir, the Tanakama, and Rabbi Gamliel is, what about if one judges a person, not if a person wants to violate, no one wants to violate Baal Teisiv. You're judging whether the person is in violation of Baal Teisiv or not. So he's wearing two shoyads on Shabbos on the day one, which there is no mitzvah of tefillin bechlal. So to violate Baal Teisiv when it's not this man on mitzvah, la b'shalad this man come and fligi, that's machlekes. Tanakama sova lo boi kavana. Reb Meir, Tanakama holds that if you wear two shoyads, it'll be Baal Teisiv even though today is not this man on mitzvah bechlal. You can violate Baal Teisiv even b'li kavana, even on a day on which the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. Rabbi Gamliel Sofer, Lava Shlo Bizmana Boi Kavana. No, that doesn't make any sense. Lava Bizmana, if you're wearing tefillin on a weekday on which there's an obligation to wear tefillin, then you're going to wear two shayad. So then I think you'd be in violation of Baltasik even if you have in mind the Shem Hatzalah. You don't have in mind to beautify the Torah, and you don't have in mind that this enhances the mitzvah, is outsmarting the Torah. But Shalai Bismanai, Rabbi Gamliel thinks, for that you need Kavanah, so since he doesn't have Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, he has Kavanah L'Shem Hatzalah, so you're right away to Shalyash.
You're not doing a mitzvah, how can you see either? In other words, if you take a Kavanah with three years, okay, and then you add extra.
That's what the Gemara asks, the next line. The Gemara asks that question, what are you talking about? If they hold that Shabbos is Lav's Manfilin, Shabbos is Lav's Manfilin, so means that the mitzvah is only 6 days a week, not 7 days a week. But if he's going to wear tefillin, one pair of tefillin on Shabbos, he's adding on to the mitzvah of tefillin. There's two ways to violate Baltaisa. You can have five parshias in the tefillin. That's a Baltaisa deraisa. Then you can have two shalyads. Some of the Rishonim said that's only Baltaisa derabbanan. The Gemara is talking about two shalyads, two shalroshim is a Baltaisa. We just talked last week or 2 weeks ago. That's a big machlekes in Rishonim and in Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim. Whether that's a Baltaisa deraisa, Baltaisa derabbanan. Here there's a different kind of Baltaisa. The Chumash says you have to sit in Sukkah only for 7 days. Shiras Yalim. He sits in Sukkah for 14 days. He thinks that the mitzvah is better. You make the mitzvah fatter. Terah says you have to wear tefillin 6 days a week, and he likes it to wear tefillin 7 days a week, all 7 days a week. So his mother says that's another kind of baltasim. The Torah gives, usually baltasim is when you have a number. You have dollars minimum, and he takes 5 minutes. The Torah is supposed to say three psukim, and he adds on a fourth psuk. Or over here, he's supposed to have 6 days a week to wear tefillin, and he wears tefillin 7 days a week. He's supposed to sit in sukkah 7 days in the year, the 7 days of sukkah. He sits in Sukkah an 8th day. Ayosha Bishmini Basukkah, he can eat in Sukkah an extra day. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? If you're giving a suggestion now that the Tanoim, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Meir, they hold that Shabbos Yom Tov is Lav's man tefillin. So to wear one pair of tefillin is an issue of Baltaisiv. What are you raising an issue of two pairs of tefillin? To wear one pair is a Baltaisiv. You're adding out to this Zman HaMitzvah. This Zman HaMitzvah is 6 days a week, and you're making it into 7 days a week. That's already a Baltaisiv with one pair of tefillin. That's like a person, instead of sitting in Sukkah 7 days, he sits in Sukkah for 8 days.
How do you compare the tefillin to Sukkah? I'm sitting in a Sukkah because it's cool. I want to sit over there. It's nicer than the Sukkah, but for sake of comfort. How will it be used for mitzvah? So if you do it more than 6 days, then you, I can see where you are with Baltaisiv.
No. Over here, let's say this person only wears tefillin 6 days a week. But here he finds it totally garbage. He puts it out on Shabbos, not for shame, not because he feels he should do the mitzvah 7 days a week. He's not really adding up. So that would be the same as sitting in Sukkah 8th day because it's night outside. It's stifling in the house, whatever. It's hot, it's cold in the house, and outside it's beautiful. So he sat in Sukkah for 7 days. Now he wants to sit in Sukkah the 8th day, not for shame. It's
what your intentions are the same. Let's just suggest you take a look and ask it on Khanag, and you mentioned in Yukon Zimmer, I'm the people of on Khanag. That's our cause. Why? Because you wanted to take a look.
That's our
cause. No, it's our cause.
He's adding another mitzvah. That's another kind of mitzvah. He's adding a 614th mitzvah.
Right.
613th mitzvah. The guy's adding another mitzvah. Then you have a baltaisim, you're adding on instead of 7 days in Sukkah, he wants to sit 8 days in Sukkah. Then you have another baltaisim, he's adding on an additional mitzvah. Mikra Megillah, he's adding on Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. That's the Gemara says that was originally a Shaila baltaisim. The Chachamim were wondering, are they allowed to institute a mitzvah with the Rabban? Maybe the Shaila from baltaisim says, so today they decided that it's okay.
Only the
right stuff? Well, putting out two shalyads that we had a machlekes, whether that's baltaisiv deraisa. Sitting in Sukkah the 8th day, the Gemara discusses seriously, should be a shayla baltaisiv. Another shayla, he says that the weather is nice. So the weather is nice. I don't have in mind the shame hoysafer. I have in mind the shame the weather. But that's the shayla lava shalom bismana. What a boy kabbalah or a boy kabbalah. It's not bismana mitzvah. You're adding on an 8th day to the 7th day. So that would be talking in the shayla nimar. Whether lava shalom bismana, boy kabbalah or not. Let's say the fellow will sit in the sukkah in the springtime because the weather is beautiful. We sit Masukah today because the weather is beautiful. So that for sure, that's not Baltasif. The Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes from Mishnayim, the only time it's a Shaila Baltasif is if you sit in Sukkah the day after Sukkot. You sat in Sukkah for 7 days straight, completely in the you continue, so thus haste, you're adding on to the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wear tefillin 6 days a week, you're adding on a seventh day. Mitzvah is to sit in Sukkah for 7 days, you add on an eighth day. But if he sits in Sukkah the 7 days of Sukkot, then he's sit in Sukkah. So that's, unless he decides it's a new mitzvah to sit in Sukkah in the springtime, that you're adding on a dasher, you're adding on a 614th mitzvah. That's another kind of baltaisa. Rambam Chumash claims that that's baltaisa deraisa, to add on a 614th mitzvah. And other Rishonim say no, hailuchudikol. The only time it's a violation of baltaisa deraisa is if you do a mitzvah deraisa, then I suffer. But if you add on an additional mitzvah, that's not. Rambam Chumash quotes the pasuk from Navi, that one of the Malachim decided that they're going to observe Sukkot in Cheshvan instead of observing in Tishrei, because it's a busy season, it's a busy business season. They have to gather in all the Tzuah. So who has time to sit in Sukkot? You don't have time to take off 7 days, 8 days. So he celebrated Sukkot a month later, B'chodesh HaShavuot HaMilibo. He invented a new yontif. So Ramban gives that as a marshal. Achodesh HaShabbat Milibo, a mitzvah Shabbat Milibo, a person invents a new mitzvah, 614th mitzvah. The Ramban HaChomish writes, that's also about place of Derais. And that's how he interprets the Gemara in Megillah. And Daf Yudalah, the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os, and they never added anything on until the first time they added on a Takanim of the Rabbanon. They made Gzeris to Rabbanon, Muktzulus of Edig in the days of Dovid HaMelech, and the other Gzeris in Tulus Adayim. Everything was in the days of Shlomo Melech, there were Gzeris, but there weren't any mitzvahs in the Rabbanon. Gzeris Aloises and mitzvahs, and Takanis are mitzvahs Hasei. So the first mitzvahs Hasei in the Rabbanon was Mikra Megillah, and then it was a whole world war. So what is the issue? So the Ramban learns that the Shaila was one of Baltasif. And the Gemara came to the conclusion that it's not Baltasif. There's no violation of Baltasif. The Shaila, why not?
So, how come the very first war was Israel?
There are two different questions. How can Bnei Chutzlah sit in Sukkah and Shmina Teres and Chutzlah?
That's the question.
That's one. That's the first question. First, we have to discuss that. Then we'll get there.
Israel, but everybody else, and they're going to sit.
Okay, so first we got to discuss the Rashi over here. The Shaila is when the Gemara says that there's a problem if you sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, the same Sukkah, the same Mitzvah Sukkah, he's not sitting because the weather is nice. He sits in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres because it says in the Gemara that you're supposed to sit in the Sukkah. So you're sitting in the same Mitzvah. So that's the Shaila. Is that an issue about Baltasif? So Rashi learns here, Rashi writes, Rashi says, how do we sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres? Isn't it a violation of Baal Tosef? Rashi interprets the Gemara that the Gemara is nervous. How do we sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres? Rashi in the end of Sukkah also learns that the Gemara in Sukkah says like that we all have a big question mark, a big problem about sitting in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres. Aren't we in violation of Baal Tosef?
Well, take a look at that one.
And
you wouldn't say
it, Dave.
The
way it's my time comes. Well, it says, Rabbi's Lord, they rush. Shiloh the same the first day. You Rabbi say that on the second night of Pesach. You daven Musaf an extra day. Everything. So according to Rashi, all of these takanas the Rabbanon are all an issue, all under a question of Baal Pesach. Everything is a question of Baal Pesach, and you got to figure out what the answer is. Rashi holds you have to figure out what the answer is. The Rush, and many Rishonim disagree with this Rashi. They say, what do you mean? The Pasuk says that the Chachamim have authority to make a Takana Rabbanon, so that's all. There's no violation about Taisin. Taisin says, the Gemara says the Chachamim, the Gemara says Rosh Hashanah Daf Tav Zayin, the Chachamim introduced Tki is the Miyushiv and Tki is the Miyumav, which is clearly more than the Halacha required. So Halacha says if you brought Tki or Shvarim Tki or three times, so you yaitz it. So we're not sure what that means, so we blow... we blow 10 kevahs. We blow tkiya shvam chua tkiya three times, tkiya chua tkiya three times, tkiya shvam tkiya three times. So we blow 10 kevahs. Why do we blow so many? Well, what do we blow? We blow 30 kevahs. We blow 30 kevahs and you get everything. So why do we blow more than 30 kevahs? The Gemara says that's a takara de rabbanon. So Taisus is bothered with the kasha. What happens about Taisus? what happened to Balfaces? He said, many Rishonim said, what kind of Balfaces? The Rashba says, and the Rosh, and the end of the Masechta, and the Rambam, and the Kuzari, they said, it's not Balfaces. The Torah authorizes the Chacham to make whatever takanas they want. Balfaces is when a person decides on his own, he's going to beautify the religion.
Has the Rosh done Agamar?
The Rosh, our Gemara says that there's an issue, how can you sit in Sukkah the eighth day, a Hemshech of Sukkah, that means in Eretz Yisrael. When a person in Eretz Yisrael doesn't have any Sukkah the Yema, a Ben Eretz Yisrael only observes Sukkah for 7 days, so let's say the weather is nice, we're going to sit in Sukkah on Shemini Atzeres as well, and there's no Takanas Chachamim at all, but then the Gemara says that'll be an issue about Taisir. So then the Gemara raised the question, but does he have to have Kavanah Lotzei? Because it's an issue of Lavish Shalai Bismana. Shmiya Teres is Shalai Bismana Nitzah. Lavish Shalai Bismana, whether he needs Kavanah or not. So that's one question. Rashi's opinion, and Teresis and Rosh Hashanah, they hold that whenever the Chacham make a Takana de Rabbanon, they have to be careful that the Takana de Rabbanon shouldn't constitute a violation of Balfaces. The Chacham always has to be careful. Their Takana de Rabbanon shouldn't violate Balfaces. And most of the Rishonim disagree. The Rambam and the Rashba and the Kuzari and the Rosh and the end of Sukkah, they all say, what do you mean? Takana de Chacham is Bechlal, there's no Balfaces.
There's no question by the Gilgamesh.
Right? So that was the answer. So that was the Gemara says when they do this the first time in history that they made a Takana de Rabbanon, that they made a mitzvah sesam de Rabbanon. So the issue was brought up, so they decided all Takanas de Rabbanon does not bother. Rashi doesn't run like that. Rashi on this Gemara does not, Rashi holds that even a Takana de Rabbanon is also an issue of Balfaces. So Rashi on that Gemara in Megillah and Daf Yudalid says that was not the issue. The issue was a different one. That you have a Pasuk, the last Pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, which is practically identical with the last Pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar, but the Pasuk says, Eila mitzvah sal shatziv Hashem es Moshe al ha-sinai al b'nei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Eila is a near, these and only these are the mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Mikan, from this Pasuk, be derived, she'en novi v'ashev ha-chadish dover mi'ata. No novi is allowed to come up with anything new. So Rashi says, and that Gemara Megillah, that was the issue. If they wouldn't have had any Ruach HaKodesh in the days of Esther, like when they instituted the Mikra, the Hadlokas Neres Chanukah, in later generations, in the end of the Bai Sheni period, there wasn't a Ruach HaKodesh, so there's no Shaiva. The Chacham have a right to make a Takana Rabban, there's no problem about Tosa. But the Shaiva was Mikra Megillah was up to Ruach HaKodesh, but that was a Shaiva. And now the Rosh HaKodesh Dover Miyato. That's how Rashi learns the Shaiva. The Ramban does not. The Ramban and Talmid Ramban learned that's not correct. They interpret that the Gemara Shaila was one of Balfaces. If you add on a new mitzvah to this, in addition to the 613, that if you're in the Chumash, you add on an additional mitzvah, so that should constitute a violation of Balfaces. So that was the Gemara's question. And then many learned that was the answer, that there's no Balfaces on any Takana de Rabban.
If one was defining this when we're talking about on Friday night,
yeah.
If there was a difference between Shabbos afternoon and Friday night, because Friday night is the last monsoon. So if you're wearing it, is that a problem?
Why is Friday night different from Shabbos and
Friday night? Monsoon. It's the same as the Lord. If you're wearing your film,
Shabbos
is also monsoon. We don't wear it on Shabbos.
Shabbos is the same thing. Shabbos.
Friday, how about night? Do you lie with film until Thursday night?
That's what we have to learn at Gemara. That's why we have to learn this. Maybe we'll discuss it now. Okay. We'll discuss it now.
You didn't get back to the Ben Kutzlaw
if it was
in Israel, so you
can't say. The Ben Kutzlaw is a Chutzlaw. What's the din? Does he have to sit in Sukkah or not? So the way it says in Agamara, he has to sit in Sukkah.
But why is he at about face
now? No, let's say you did a Chutzlaw.
I'm talking about Ben Israel. Chutzlaw is living Israel
during Sukkah. Let's say he's living in Queens. And Shmini Atzeres. Does he have to eat in Sukkah or not? So, in the way he says in Agamara, in our edition of the Gemara, says you have to sit in the Sukkah. So other Rishonim had a different gears in the Gemara. We have the gears in the Gemara, the Hilchos, the Gemara is a Machlokes, whether you have to sit in the Sukkah on the sake of the end.
He's in Israel. What
do you mean
Queens?
In Queens, the first step is what's in Queens? What is he for Chutzlar?
He was living in Queens. I can understand the Gemara says he has to sit in the Sukkah. So, now I'm in Israel.
Okay.
And if I stood in Israel,
I'm
sitting in
Sukkah,
why am I not? I don't face it.
The same Shabbat, how do you observe 2 days? Forget about sitting in Sukkah and Shmei HaTeres. What about observing Shavuot the second day? What about observing Pesach the second day? Same Shabbat. Same Shabbat. Is there a Sfeik of the Yom if a Ben Chutzlar was visiting in Eretz Yisrael? So that was a big machlekes. And Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Kar lived in Eretz Yisrael. And they had people who used to visit. Baal HaBatei used to visit from Egypt. So Shalosh Regalim at Eretz Yisrael. And he says in Shulchan Aruch, he says you have to observe 2 days Yantav and Dav, Yantav to get davening, the whole work. You have to observe all the dinim of Yantav.
Yes.
And the Racham Tzvi of Yosef Karo, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they had people visit from Chutzlars, he said they have to observe 2 days Yantav. The Racham Tzvi did not live anywhere near Eretz Yisrael. He never saw Eretz Yisrael in his lifetime. He thinks that that's not right. He thinks that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, even if you're Ben Chutzlars and visiting, you shouldn't observe Yom Tov Sheni. So there are different opinions throughout all the generations. The majority opinion always was like the Shulchan Aruch, like Rabbi Yosef Karo. The Mishnah Berurah says like that. And then there was always an ongoing minority opinion of those who disagreed.
The Gemara in Eivon has a whole thing about if you go to another place where the minhag is different, whether you should, all the says they should go to Chumrah. If you come from a place, to a place where they don't know
right, that's if
that's
here the Yiddish Gebrok, here the Ani Gebrok.
Right.
But then you always go to Chumrah. Here the Shai, maybe this is not a Shaila at all. I mean, if I'm up, and maybe the Dinus, Eretz Yisrael has 1 day, Yantav and Chutzlars has 2 days. Let's say Shkia. Let's say, when is Shabbos over in New York? 9:15. So if I'm in Eretz Yisrael, do I have to wait? Let's say Shabbos till another 7 hours, because Chumi Amok Mashiach Misham. No! That's not. In America, you gotta wait 7 hours later because it's 7 hours later on the globe. It's a different time zone. That's a shot. Maybe the issue of 1 day Yantav, 2 days Yantav is an issue of a time zone. Whoever happens to be in Eretz Yisrael only has 1 day Yantav. Whoever happens to be in Eretz Yisrael has 2 days Yantav. So that was a big debate. So, yes, if Karo, who lives in Eretz Yisrael and had the guests visiting them all the time, and the Chidor who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and all the Rabbanim, they all lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they all said, you gotta have 2 days Yantav in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chacham Tzvi, who was never there, he never saw what it was all about, he says no. He says he doesn't think that that's right. So this was the big machlokes. Rashi says he said he ate Musukh, but not Nesir Yasvinim, which means that Rashi says he did eat Musukh. Rashi says the Farish, but not, I'm not that. Tariq Ramana. No, there are many, there is a group of Rishonim who didn't have that gears in the Gemara. We have the gears in the Gemara Sukkah, the Hilchus Yit in the Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, where you don't say a bracha v'eshu about Sukkah. There are 3 opinions in the Gemara. What do you do with Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres? One Shita, you sit in Sukkah with a bracha. One Shita, you don't sit in Sukkah at all. And then the compromise Shita, you sit in Sukkah without a bracha. So in our editions of the Gemara, it says the Hilchus, the final conclusion is, Meisiv Yasminam, Bruchi Lame Brachinam. That you sit in Sukkah, you don't say a bracha. Many Rishonim obviously didn't have that gusa, because we have many Rishonim saying, you can't sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, it'll be Baal Tosef. What do you mean it'll be Baal Tosef? The Gemara has a whole discussion that came to the conclusion that you do sit in Sukkah. So obviously they held that this was added on from their Halachas Gedolos. Every so often we have a Gemara that says the Hilchasa, and Tosef says that's not from the Gemara. That was added on by the Halachas Gedolos. The family they held that this was added on, and it's not correct. That you're not supposed to sit in Sukkah. The Chassidim didn't originate this practice. It stems all the way back from the days of the Mordechai quote, all these other Rishonim quotes.
I quoted the Rashi, the father, that his grandson, I believe, one of his grandsons,
one of his grandsons. That doesn't give you reason to see. It was known 7 hours different. Maybe a half an hour, 50 minutes.
In Chutzlars. In Chutzlars, people observe Yantav Sheni Shol Gomim. That's another Shaila. That's another Machlekes. The Din, that in Eretz Yisrael is only 1 day Yantav, Chutzlars is 2 days Yantav. Where did that come from? So that originated from the days of the early days. And the Bai Sheni, they used to send out shluchim. They used to send out shluchim by horseback to notify all the people. There was a time that they notified by torches, by fires, and then the tzdukim messed everybody up. So then they couldn't rely on the fires anymore. Mishikil Karat Tzdukim. Right. So then they had people travel by horseback. So the Rambam writes. So then, even after we have the Ruach established the way we have it. So the Shailus doesn't make sense, but Rav Yantav Sheni today is no longer a mistake of Rema. The Gemara says at the beginning of the debate, so you should still observe Yantav Sheni the same way you did in the earlier generations when there was a Sveik of the Yema. So the Rambam says that in the earlier generations, the Sveik of the Yema didn't It wasn't a difference between Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Lo'ed. You have to draw a line, you have to draw a circle. How close do you live to the Beis Avad, the place where the Bez Nagorel or the Bez is that's declaring when Rosh Chodesh is, and how far away do you live? So the Rambam says, there are many locations in Chutz Lo'ed which are within that circle, where the Shluchim are where he grew. The Shluchim would arrive before Yontif and notify the people that would only have one day Yontif. And there are many locations within Eretz Yisrael that are so far away from the Beis Avad that they would have to have 2 days Yontif. So the Rambam writes explicitly in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that the matter of observing 1 day Yontif or 2 days Yontif is not a function of whether you're living in Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Lo'ed, it's a function of how close you live to the Beis Avad. Where was the Beis Avad? Originally it was in Yerushalayim, then it was in Yavne, Tipori, Shein, Husha, Olo, the Galil. That's how the Rambam writes. The Minig, though, was for many generations like the Ritro. The Ritro writes in Rosh Hashanah that was much a Kitchopi, Horiya, and he used to send out Shluchim, so it was taka a function of how close he was to the Beis Avad. Did the Shluchim arrive in your community to let you know when Rosh Chodesh was or not? But after they established the Luach Kavua, and then they said you should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni, even though it doesn't correspond to any Sfeika D'Yoma. So the Ritva says at that time the din changed, and it's not the same location. It's not how close you are. You don't draw a circle around the Beis Avad. Now it depends on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Lo'ed. So that was the Minig for many generations. Minig was like the Ritva, not like the Rambam. That even though Syria is very close to Beis Avad, and you have a place, Be'er Sheva, or other locations in the south are very far. Yerucham, I don't know, Dimona, Yerucham, very far. You keep on traveling and traveling and traveling, it travels very far. Kiryat Shmona is very far from Yerushalayim, you travel forever. So even if you're very far from the place where the Beis Avad was, but if you're in Eretz Yisrael, so that's the accepted practice. Shabbos where the Eilat was really included in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Eilat is Chutz Lo'ed. So the Sefer Kafta Baferach is a Sefer written by one of the Rishonim who moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he writes about all the issues involved in Hilchot Eretz Yisrael. So he has a whole section about this. You have 1 day Yontif, 2 days Yontif. So he discusses which cities in Eretz Yisrael are treated like Eretz Yisrael and which are not. So he writes you what the practice was in the 1200s. What was their practice?
But Rishon had less time to travel. But even though
it had that effect of Pesach as well, the distance, even though it's based on how far they're going to Shoshana,
even though Pesach had more time to travel,
it still
affect the same distance.
The Gemara points out that there were locations where the Shluchim Nisan Higil and the Shluchim Tishrei Lo Higil. Because Nisan you have, in the first 14 days, you have 12 days that you can travel. Just the Tusha Basim in the first 14 days of Nisan you can't travel. But the other 12 days you can travel all day. And the first 14 days of Tishrei, they not only can they not travel on Shabbos, they can't travel on Rosh Hashanah, they can't travel on Yom Kippur. So there are 2 days less that they travel. So the Shluchei Nisan would reach further, right, they would go further than the Shluchei Tishrei. So the Gemara wants to know, those locations where the Shluchei Nisan Higil, the Shluchei Tishrei Lo Higil, do you say that they observe 2 days Sukkis, but they only observe 1 day Pesach? So the Gemara says, no, you have to make a loy pluk. Since they have to observe 2 days Sukkis, so we require of them that they have to observe 2 days Pesach as well. Even though it doesn't... And then the Rambam said, that's how the Rambam writes, that Shavuos never made any sense. He thinks that all over the world, by the time it came Shavuos, everybody already knew where Rosh Chodesh Nisan was. Once you know where Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you know when Pesach was. Once you know Pesach, you know when Shavuos is going to be. So the Rambam says that the only reason why anybody observes 2 days Shavuos is because of this light bulb that the Gemara said, right? That's what Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, based on that Gemara, he said if you have people who have a home, they have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, and they spend time in Eretz Yisrael, they spend time in America. So when they're spending time in Eretz Yisrael, they're at Ben Eretz Yisrael. So the Shlomo says they observe 1 day Yontif or 2 days Yontif. So he said it depends. If they come all of Shavuos Regal and Pesach Shavuos and Sukkis, they live in their apartment, so good. So they observe 1 day Yontif on Pesach Shavuos Sukkis. But a lot of these people only go for Pesach and Sukkis, they don't go for Shavuos. So then you have to make a life look. Since Shavuos, they're not B'nai Eretz Yisrael, Shavuos by them is not 1 day Yontif, it's 2 days Yontif. So even the Pesach and the Sukkis, that they are in Eretz Yisrael, you have to observe a life look because of the Shavuos. That's what Shlomo Zalman is quoted as having said. So here the Gemara has the issue regarding this pasuk. There's a pasuk in the middle of Kadesh Vayokim Yacha. The pasuk says, there are four parshiyos in the Torah. Kadesh Vayterech Shema Vayoyim Shemaya. So in the middle of the parsha of Kadesh, it says, V'shamata Sachuka Azos Lamoada Miyamim Yamima. The last pasuk in Kadesh, right before Vayokim Yacha. So the Tanoim have a machlokes. How do you translate the words? The Shamata is a chukah hazois. Which chukah? Chukah refers to chukah ha-Pesach. And the Yomim Amima means annually. You should observe the mitzvah of Korban Pesach every year. Year in, year out, the Yomim Yamima. Or the Shamata is a chukah refers to chukah ha-Tfilin, because both were mentioned previously, Tfilin and Korban Pesach. So maybe it refers to chukah ha-Tfilin, and the Yomim Yamima means daily. So that's a machlokes ha-Tanoim. That's a machlokes ha-Tanoim. Taisus has the famous comment over here. The Taisus v'shamarta is a chukah zois. Taisus quotes that Rabbi Natan has a harifus. It's like a Polish shepherd. A harifus over here. The Gemara says the Bnei Marove used to say a bracha when they took off the tulum.
Yeah.
And Eretz Yisrael, they said bracha when they took off the tulum. What bracha did they say? Asher kreshem tazton lishma chukav. The Gemara says we don't hold like that. The Bnei Marove don't pass like that. What's on a bracha does lishma chukav? Whoever heard of saying a bracha when you take off, when you stop a mitzvah? Kol ha-mitzvah kruv mevach alayim oivel asiyosim. As you're about to perform the mitzvah, oivel asiyosim, you say a bracha. Why should you say a bracha when you're taking off the tefillin? Okay. So you see, Sinishkin Kasha. That's what the Ramban says. Sinishkin Kasha, you see, when you get an aliyah. When you say halal, so you say a bracha before and after. When you say tzukah d'zimra, say baruch shama before, and you say yishtabach after. There is such a thing as saying a bracha after. But the Ramban says he doesn't agree with what they say. Ramban holds that when you take off your talus also, if you wear the talus for a long time, if you shake a little bit just for 3 minutes, so you don't say a bracha after, you only say a bracha before. But if you do a mitzvah that takes an hour, and when the hour is up, so the Bnei Marov, and every so they would say bracha when they're about to, when they finish the mitzvah, they say bracha lishma chukav. The bracha shalach
re'ah. Why should we tell them to not to say lishma chukav? Why should we tell them?
I don't know, because the Gemara, so the Ramban says, because the Gemara says that they only said the bracha when they took off tefillin. So why does the Gemara think about tefillin? So he thinks because tefillin you would wear for a long period of time.
Okay.
He thinks, well, do not mean any mitzvah that takes a long time, like talus, if you wear the talus for a long time. But a mitzvah is just a brief mitzvah, so then you don't say a bracha when you finish. Okay, I don't know, but it seems to be more that is limited. So the Rabbi Natan has a harifus. Rabbi Natan says, no, they only said, the Gemara just said and said the bracha when they took off tefillin. So the Rabbi Natan says, why did he say such a funny nusach lishma chukav? He says, it's based on this pasuk, v'shamata sachukah hazayis. Lishma chukav is mamish v'shamata sachukah hazayis. The Bnei Marav held like the Tana, like Rabbi Yosef Glili, that v'chukah sachtfilin akas medabim. V'shamata sachukah hazayis l'mayadam yamim goes on tefillin. And what does it teach you? Miyamim daily, miyamim v'olelos, that it's an isa deraisa, you're not allowed to put on tefillin balayla. So when the Bnei Marav and the Bismarck Kodesh, they wore tefillin all day long. So when they were about to take off tefillin, as it's getting dark, we got stuck in traffic tonight, that's why we came so late. So as part of the story while we were coming here, so there was a fellow driving a car wearing tefillin. So we're going to scream out, it's all shkia. You got to take off the tefillin. The guy was driving, normal. He didn't cause the traffic jam. He was going pretty fast. So the Bnei Marav, not that they took off the tefillin after Aleinu, after Shachris. No, they took off when they were driving their car, when it was Laila, because you're not supposed to wear tefillin by Laila, miyamim v'loy Lailais. So they said, oivel asiyosam, as they're about to take off the tefillin, that's a mitzvah, to take off the tefillin when it comes Laila. So oivel asiyosam, not a bracha shalachar, it's a bracha shalachareha. They said a bracha before they put on tefillin. Then they said bracha before they take off tefillin, if it's coming Laila, because you're not supposed to wear tefillin by Laila. Because the mitzvah to take off the tefillin before Laila. And then nusach ha-bracha, mishma chukav, is straight from this pasuk, v'shamata sachukah zayis. And then Taisus says, but we don't follow the Bnei Marav and Lishma Chukav. Why? Because we passed in Mikra Adin in Menachos, and Daf Lamed Vav, Taisus says, the last 5 lines in the Taisus is Shamaita. So Taisus says, Uba HaKoimitz Rabbah Menachos Daf Lamed Vav Paskinon, the Babli Pasuk is against the Bnei Marav, against the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael.
The
Rav is not Turin. Mikra din the Rav, mid-Rabbanan, you're not supposed to put on Turin by Laiva. Because Laiva, usually people sleep. When people sleep, so then a lot of times people are mefiach, they pass gas, and that's a violation of Kavod HaTfilin. So you're not allowed to put on tefillin by Laila mid-Rabbanan. But in HaTorah, Mikra Adil Laila is man tefillin. The Gemara says, Halacha de Emorim Kei. Tzitzis, we say tzitzis, Laila is Lazman. Tzitzis, Lazman
and tzitzis. If you wear it, you can have another.
No, but by tefillin.
That's when you're not allowed to.
Let's say tzitzis is Laila's Lazman tzitzis. In Paschim, there's no mitzvah for Laila. There's no Avera. There's no Paschim that says there's an Avera. But Tulin we Paschim, Tulin is the Machlokes. So we Paschim that Laila is Man Tulin. Laila is not Man Tulin.
Friday night you're allowed to put them on. If you find Tulin in the Machlokes, Friday night you'd be allowed to put it on.
There's a mitzvah de Rabbanan not to put on tefillin by Laila, but for the purpose of Hatzom, I would assume that you'd be allowed to. Is that mitzvah de Raisa?
You said last week that if you have a sefer Torah that would be saving, you're not allowed to over to take a karma to the Rabbanan, so you're not allowed to be over the issa de Rabbanan and over the sefer Torah.
No, that's to do Hatzom, to carry in a karma, if we are allowed, you're only allowed to carry in a Chatzom Shenim or Rebbe. That's a lower
issa.
Nah, the Yisrael Rabban Hashem Yafiach them, Zagzeire, not to say, Zagzeire Hashem Yafiach them. I have to look at Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember what the deal is, but I would imagine, in this case, a person finds tefillin on a Friday night, I would think that he should put on the tefillin. It would be passing that Laila is not tefillin.
Laila is Yisrael Rabban.
Yeah, I would think that you permit him to violate this Yisrael Rabban and Zagzeire. Because in this case there is no say. There is Shema Yishabem, Shema Yafiachem is not going to go to sleep.
You mean after Shkila or after Tzeis?
Even after Tzeis. Even after Tzeis. What do you mean after Shkila is not
proud? Let me say that after that. Is there anything that
I have to put on the Laila. No. Mikra Din Laila, even according to the Tanoim. Gemara has a machlokes Tanoim. But yes, I believe you're not allowed to put on tefillin by Laila. So that only goes to put on tefillin by Laila. But if you put on the tefillin, let's say Tisha B'Av, you put on tefillin to Mincha. So Mikra Din, if you put on the tefillin by Yom, you leave it on by Laila at the beginning, so you don't have to rush to take it off. You have to rush to take it off by the Shkia.
You may fall asleep in the tefillin.
That's why you're not allowed to leave the tefillin on. You're not allowed to put on tefillin by Laila mid the Rabban because he may fall asleep. Shema Yishemem, Shema Yafiachem. But if you put on the tefillin by Yom, he doesn't have to rush so quickly to take it off. He can leave on the tefillin.
Why is Mantua so
strong? If the Gemara says later, and is that if Shabbos, if Laila is last Mantua, then it is Mantua. Even if Laila is Mantua. Tosfos says we pass the Laila is Mantilin. But Shabbos is Lav's Mantilin, then it's called the Mitzvah Sashesha is Mantilin. If one would have adopted the position that Laila and Shabbos are both Mantilin, then he must have been Mantilin and Tilin, because the Mitzvah Sashesha, where is Mantilin? That's what Rimar has later on the doubt. So Yigmar has this machlekes hatanaim. How do you interpret the pasuk? Ushamata sachukah hazos lamoad amiyamim yamimo. The Rabbi said, really, hold the chukas hatfilin akasim edaber. It's talking about tefillin, and it says yamim v'lo leilos. You're not allowed to put on tefillin by laila. And it says miyamim is also on miyut. So miyamim means some days and not all days. Miyamim v'lo kol yamim, to the exclusion of Shabbos and Yom Tov. How do you know which days to exclude? Maybe exclude Labor Day. Maybe exclude July 4th. It doesn't say what. Just says miyamim v'lo kol yamim. So the top basis explains. You can't figure it out miyamim v'lo kol yamim. You'd never be able to figure out which days you exclude. But we have another passage. The purpose of wearing tefillin is that you should have an oath. And Shabbos and Yom Tov themselves are called oaths. Shabbos and Yom Tov is an oath. So since on Shabbos and Yom Tov you don't need the oath of tefillin, so you put two and two together, and you say when it says miyamim, the Lord call yamim, it's excluding Shabbos and Yom Tov, not excluding Thanksgiving, not excluding July 4th. It's excluding Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Tosfos says, even if Yosef Agudah, who didn't mention it, must also be relying on this of all Svarim, Chol Yos, Yotz, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Shein Gufanayz. So that's what this Edwin's opinion, that there's an Issa to put on Tefillin Balayla, and there's an Issa to put on Tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Osfa, an Issa, you get Malkus. You get Malkus as an Issa Asay, as an Issa Leis Asay. So this is quotes, that's a Machlekes in Menachos. Where is it? This is quotes, that's a Machlekes in Menachos. Right, and the Tosfos is Shama de Essay, the Tosfos refers you to Menachos Daf Lamed Vav. The Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Yechonon and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechonon. The Gemara has a machlekes that if you put on tefillin balayla, do you get malchus or not? What's the shaila? So first the Gemara says, well, it says, v'shamayta sachuka hazois, and we know you only get malchus if you violate an aver which is duni d'alav v'chasim, similar to v'sachsam shabedisha, because the only place it says in Chumash that you get malchus, says v'hayon bin hakoich ha-rosha, if someone's a rosha, it doesn't, gives him malchus. So that says next to the pasuk of v'sachsam shabedisha, and that's in Chumash Dvar. In Chumash Dvar, we dash in smuchim. If you have two psukim that are next to each other, that seem to have no connection whatsoever, you have to figure out how they are connected, because Chumash Dvar, Moshe Rabbeinu, is reviewing the whole Torah. The Mephoshim on the Chumash Dvar say Chumash Dvar is start off as Torah Shabbal Peh. Moshe Rabbeinu is being the sadder everything before he dies, and then the Rabbeinu Shalom dictated he should incorporate it into the Chumash. But it started off as Torah Shabbal Peh. So Moshe Rabbeinu is delivering all of the giving over all the demon in a logical order. So the Gemara says that the Gemara says in Yivamis, in the beginning, in Yivamis, that even though we don't darshan smuchim, if you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. So we assume that there's some connection. If you have two dinim and two adjacent psukim, that's called smuchim, and that's a machlek satanai, whether you darshan smuchim or not. So we pass in Chumash Dvarim, you do darshan smuchim, and the other four chumashim, you don't darshan smuchim. So this is one of the many, many, many famous drushes on Chumash Dvarim that you darshan smuchim. That it says, V'hayon din hakois ha-rasha, a rasha deserves malchus. So that pasuk doesn't say which rasha, when rasha. Whoever belongs to the Mizrahi is a Russia. Whoever belongs to the Agud is a Russia. Who's a Russia? How do you decide who's a Russia? So it says it next to the pasuk. Losachsam shabedisha. Whoever violates an aver that's similar to losachsam shabedisha, he gets malchus. So what's losachsam shabedisha? Says loy has to be alav sheyesh b'maisa. But then also has to be similar to losachsam shabedisha. Do the alav the hasima has to be similar to losachsam shabedisha in the nature of the avera. But then also has to be similar to the sasim shabedisha. The lot the hasimla has to be similar to the sasim shabedisha in the nature of the avera. Lav sheyesh b'maisa shouldn't be a lot of nitek lesei. Shouldn't be a lot of nitek lesei. This is the nature of the avera. And then it should be similar to the sasim shabedisha the way it appears in the chumash. Has to say loy. What if it doesn't say loy? What if it says al? What if it says pen? So that's what this Amor says. If he says Hishomer Pen Aral, Amor Abovin, Amor Abiloi, whenever it says Hishomer Pen Del, that's the equivalent of Loi, and that's called Dumi Delav De Hasim. So here it says V'Shamarto Es Achuka Azoi. So V'Shamarto is the same as Hishomer. So that should really be a Lav. So the Gemara in Menachos has a Machlekes Rabbi Yechon and the Rebbe Elazar. If you hold like Rabbi Yosi Haglili, then the pasuk V'Shamarto goes Takan Tefillin. And it teaches you, Yamin Velolelos, you're not allowed to put on tefillin balayla. So if one puts on tefillin balayla, should he get malchus or not? So Bechadin says, yes, you give him malchus. It's always says it because he's shomer. The shamat is the same as he's shomer. And he's shomer is a lot. And Rabbi Elazar disagrees and he says, no, that's he's shomer the essay. He's shomer the lav. Here there's a mitzvah of tefillin. Tefillin is a mitzvah says. Then it says, the shamat has a chukah hazois. He's just mechazik the mitzvah of tefillin. So you can't say that that's a lav. Yishama of an essay, the worst it can be is going to be an essay. And we don't, the Rambam doesn't paskal like Rabbi Elazar. The Rambam paskal is like Rabbi Yechonon. usually Tasman Rabbi Yechanan against Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Yechanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Lozer. But usually Tasman Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan holds Hishama Aben Esrei is also allowed. If you put on Tefillin Balayla, Tosis writes a Lohachi, that Tosis Hishama.
But if he doesn't put it on, you'll leave it from the day.
No, that's the Gemara. If he put on tefillin by Yom and he leaves it on, that's not an aver. But if he puts on tefillin by Laila, then he's in violation of a lois esrei. So Taisa says, and what if he didn't put on tefillin all day long? He didn't put on tefillin all day long at all. He doesn't put on tefillin at all. So he's mevatel a mitzvah of tefillin. Do you say he's in violation of a lois esrei? And he gets malchus. So Taisa says no. To that extent, Rabbi Yechanan agrees with Rabbi Lozer. That Hishama the essay is an essay. The Torah says you have to wear tefillin every day, and he didn't put on tefillin. So he violated Shamata Sechukah Zes Lamadam, Yom Yamima. Supposed to wear tefillin daily, so that's Hishama the essay is an essay, Tosfos says. Rabbi Yechanan only disagrees with Rabbi Lozer if he put on tefillin Balayla. Because this passage, the Rebbe Shlomo is warning, he's shaking his finger. He says, don't put on tefillin balayla. So that's, don't do that. That's a lois esrei. But the Rebbe Shlomo waves his finger and says, make sure you wear tefillin every single day. So that's Hishama de esrei. That's not Hishama de esrei. When he tells you, don't put on tefillin balayla, that's, even though it's Hishama of an esrei, but that's a lav. But that's in lois esrei. The same passage.
The same word?
Yeah.
You could have not given him malchus because it's a
lav shem b'maisa, right? That's also true. A person doesn't put on tefillin all day, he's not going to get malchus lav shem b'maisa. But Taisa says more than that. Not only is that certainly true, it's a lav shem b'maisa, but he's not going to get malchus because it's only an essay. The lingin anochas hayom, he showed the essay is an essay. But Legabi putting on tefillin b'layla, Taisa says there we hold like Rabbi Yechanan that would be a lois esrei. So this again, this Gemara Rabbi Yechanan with Rabbi Lozer and Menachas Daf Lamed Vav, Hishama Aben Esrei. This is all within Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds that this pasuk Hishamata Chukah Hazaz goes on Chukas Hatfilin, and that's what Tosfos says. The Bnei Marovit Paskan like that. That's why that's Rabbi Natan's Charifus. The Bnei Marovit says the Bracha Lishma Chukah when they remove the tefillin, not after the Shir Shal Yom, when they remove tefillin at the end of the day, right before the Shkia. In order not to violate the Yisur of having tefillin on Balayla. But Taisa said that's what the Yerushalmi holds like Rabbi Yosef Aglili, Bnei Marove, that's the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael hold like Rabbi Yosef Aglili. But Taisa says, Vanan Paskinan, we don't pask like that. The Bavli in Menachas Paskin, Nikra Adin Laila Isman Tefillin, because we pask like Rabbi Akiva, that the Pasuk Rishamaito isn't really referring to Chukas HaTefillin, refers to Chukas HaPesach. It refers to Pesach, and Yamim Yamim means yearly, annually. It doesn't mean daily. It doesn't refer to wearing tefillin daily. So according to Rabbi Akiva,
you have to take it off. In other words, if you have on during the day and wear it at night, it's not like this. It's
not like Rabbi Yosef. Even Rabbi Yosef really also only says it's an Aveira if you put it on Balayla. That's an Igmar Menachem.
Also say the same thing.
No, Rabbi Akiva says you're permitted to put on tefillin balayla. You can say a bracha, min ha'Torah. It's a mitzvah. That's the zman. Bayom ha'balayla, all day long.
That's
chukas goes on Pesach, right? Rabbi Akiva though agrees with Rabbi Yosef Aglili that Shabbos are young, but you don't put on tefillin. But it's not based on the pasuk Yishamarta. It's based on oaths. You only need the oaths on the weekdays because Shabbos are young to be tough. You don't need an oath. Oh, so that's what the top taste is. Then Shagasari has a famous essay about this where he bases it on the top taste. He says this will depend on Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, that the whole source for excluding Shabbos Yont is Vahir L'chol Yos. Yot Shabbos Yom Tev Meshein Guf Anois. That means you're not obligated to put on film. You want to put on film, because that's okay. You can put on film. And that's the taste in the end of the first Perek and Beit. So the taste shows from the Gemara the way we have the gears in the Gemara. The Vilna Gaon wants to cross out the whole line in the Gemara. But the way it says in our editions, all the editions of the Gemara, it says that on Yontif, when you come visit someone, on Yontif, so you bring him a gift. So you bring a box of chocolates, you bring flowers, whatever you want to bring is fine. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to bring a sandal hamesumah. You're not allowed to bring... The Tanoi made Xer de Rabbana. There was some fluke of an accident that occurred in the days of the Tanoi. Right. Made Xer de Rabbana. You're not allowed to wear shoes on Shabbos that have nails on the bottom, full of spikes on the bottom. Right. Shoes with spikes on the bottom. So the Gemara says, but if you want to give the person, you come to visit people, and these people have everything. For the man who has everything, so what can you possibly buy? So you want to buy him a pair of shoes that he should wear in the weekday. He's not going to wear it on Yom Tov. And Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry. You want to carry, give him a gift. He's going to make him very happy on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, no, you're not allowed to give him a sandal hamsuma because he's not allowed to use it on Yom Tov. But the Mishnah says, anything that you can possibly use on Yom Tov, you can give a gift. So the Gemara says, what taste? Anything? Tefillin. The Tefillin says, you see that? You're allowed to wear tefillin on Yom Tov? Yeah. Even though the Shabbos of Yom Tov is locked, you're not obligated to. But it doesn't mean that there's an issur. Because the Shagazai explains, that's because we have rejected Rabbi Yosef Lili's opinion. And we pass like Rabbi Akiva, that Laila is Mantil and only Shabbos Yantar is Laz Mantil. Shabbos Yantar, Laz Mantil, you're not Mechuyim. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But if we would have adopted like the Bnei Marobah, Paschal like Rabbi Yosef Lili, would have adopted the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Lili, that there's a lab over here, there's an Isser, an Isser Este, an Isser Ad, the Shamatas, the Chukas, it goes on Chukas HaTfilin, that the Pasuk teaches me that it's forbidden to put on Tfilin Balaila. So the same Pasuk tells me that it's forbidden to put on Tfilin on Shabbos Yantar. If you have a Shamaita, it's an Issa on Laila, so it's an Issa on Shabbos Yom Tov also. That's why the Shagazai light through that Kasha on the Rambam. The Rambam splits the Pesach over here. The Rambam writes that the Rambam passes like Rabbi Yosef Lili. It's forbidden to put on Tefillin by Laila. Whoever puts on Tefillin by Laila gets Malkus. And he holds that the first of the Shamaita is the Chukas goes on Chukas at Tefillin. And the same halacha in Hilchot Tefillin, he writes, in Shabbos V'Yom Tov, you're not obligated to put on Tefillin. If you don't want to, you don't have to. What do you mean you don't want to, you don't have to? You should have said that it's forbidden. Whoever puts on Tefillin gets Malkus. No, that's the Shaila. If it's forbidden to put on Tefillin, then it's what to discuss. Maybe it'll be Muktzah. But if it's not forbidden, then it won't be Muktzah. In the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in Hilchot Shabbos, has a whole, a few simanim about Muktzah. The verse of Karet, that tefillin on Shabbos is a klisha malachta leheta. It's not muktzah at all, it's klisha malachta leheta. So the Taz writes in his commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, but according to what the Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in Hilchos Tefillin, that he discovers the Zohar, and the Zohar, Rabbi Yosef Kara always quotes from the Zohar. Rabbi Yosef Kara quotes from the Zohar that it's forbidden to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov, because it's a bizoyin to the klisha tayyim, as if the day is not ice. So then the Taz says it should be a klisha malachta leisa. It should be like a screwdriver and a hammer. It should be a klisha malachta leisa that you only allowed to move it l'tzol kufa l'tzol mekona. So Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his uncle, Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, he said he thinks that it should be worse. If you all like the Zohar, that it's forbidden to wear tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov, that it should be mukta manish, because it's called malachta leisa. It's not like a hammer or a screwdriver. There's rov malachta leisa and mirth malachta leheta. We sometimes use the screwdriver, the hammer, to open up a jar, a bottle or something. But the tefillin, the only thing you use it for is for doing the mitzvah. But that's not permissible on Shabbos Yom Tov. It should be called malachta leisa. Called malachta leisa should be mukta manish. So that's the question in Shulchan Aruch, how we should pass it. The Shulchan Aruch himself says that it's klisha malachta leheta. Tefillin is klisha malachta leheta. And the Taz is ma'ir that if you're chayshish for the Zohar, should become a klisha malachta leheta.
Since our general was actually working with the Rav Yosef Lili, that means that they pass all like a mishma, they live there, they're also. They're made by Rav. I mean, why would he argue with the Rav Yosef Lili? Is that
a lot? I don't know, not necessarily. Yeah, but a lot of times the Gemara discusses what did the Shammai mean. Even though we know in advance that we're not going to pass by the Shammai. The Shammai ain't a Mishnah, right? We don't pass by the Shammai at all. But still the Gemara has long discussions what did the Shammai mean. So it could be that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar are just arguing within Rabbi Yochanan Lili, not necessarily implying that we should pass like that. The Rambam took it like that. The Rambam took it that they're passing like Rabbi Yochanan Lili, and he followed their Pesach. And he says if you put on tefillin balayla, you get Malkus. Because the Rambam Paschal is like Rabbi Yosef Lili, like Rabbi Yechanan, that he shomed the essay is allowed.
What are you talking about? Are they talking about like people like
Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar?
They live in there,
sort of like them. Yeah, okay. I mean the Bnei Marava who said the Baruch Lishma Chukha, but coined for the Rabbi in the Tam Shtikal Torah, that's the Pshat, because they follow Rabbi Yosef Lili. The Ramban disagrees with the whole thing. Ramban says that the Rabbi in the Tam is not right. He thinks that they didn't only recite Lishma Chukha when they're about to take off the tefillin at night. He says when they took off a talis after Shachar, they also said Lishma Chukha. Whenever there's a mitzvah that had a shiur zman, it took a while, so they would say a bracha upon the conclusion of the mitzvah. That's how the Ramban claims. So this is the machlekes that the Gemara quotes. How do you understand the pasuk? The shamata suchuk hazos lemaya dam yamim yamima. The smak, the sefer mitzvahs gadol, is written by one of the Bali Ateches, by Rav Moshe Mikutzi. So he writes that in France and Germany there was a big problem. A lot of people didn't wear tefillin. Tosfos writes like that also. Tosfos in Shabbos writes, the Gemara says you shouldn't wear tefillin unless you have a guf noki. So Tosfos says, unfortunately, many people in our generation don't put on tefillin. And their excuse is, their justification is that they're afraid they don't have a guf noki. In Shulchan Aruch it says we're afraid. Guf noki means you have to have a clean body, physically clean. And a clean body means that the mind should be a clean mind. The person shouldn't have a hivurim. So in Shulchan Aruch they say that we're concerned about hivurim. And therefore we try to cut down the hanachas tefillin to the bare minimum. So even though the women normally would volunteer to shake a lulav and to listen to tkiyas, we recommend the women should not volunteer to put on tefillin, because we're afraid everybody has an issue with the guf noki. So the women shouldn't volunteer. And Evet Kanaini, what's wrong? Let Evet Kanaini volunteer. We're afraid Evet Kanaini doesn't have a guf noki, he shouldn't volunteer to wear tefillin. He's not mechuyev, because it's his man grama, so we don't recommend. The Gemara says in the end of Lulav HaGozel, when the child is old enough to know how to put on tefillin a couple of years before his bar mitzvah, the father buys him a separate pair of tefillin. So on Shulchan Aruch, they follow the Baal Iter, you don't have the kid put on tefillin until he's mamish 13 years old. Some have a meaning a month before 13, but not too much earlier. Some have a meaning by Yisoyimim that they have them put on tefillin a year before bar mitzvah. But Medina the Gemara, it's a few years before bar mitzvah, so they cut that down. And then for the men, Bismarck Gemara, the men wear tefillin all day long. So they cut down on that also. They recommend you should only wear tefillin when you're down in Shachris and Shai, because everybody has a problem with the guf noki. So Tais is right that many Jews didn't wear tefillin at all. They didn't wear tefillin at all because they were concerned about the guf noki. So Tais says not right. Okay. So Tais says that it's not right that they should be medactic to put on tefillin briefly for Shachris and Shai. Take it off after Shachris. So this Mag writes that he traveled around France and Germany, different communities, encouraging all the Balabatim that they should wear tefillin. They didn't wear talus either. They didn't wear talus the whole week long. What's that? Talus, you don't need a guf noki. So they only used to wear talus on Shabbos. Yeah. So he encouraged them, it's not right, they should wear talus every day when they daven. And he says there's a pasuk in Daniel, where Daniel envisions, he has a vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an old man with long white hair. The Baruch Shalom was wearing a white garment, his malbush was white, his sire and his hair was kama noka, like tzemanoki. Baruch Shalom is older than Yoshke. Yoshke is a young guy. Baruch Shalom is there, thousands of years old already. That's how they tell the story, that Adyon Sinevish used to have debates with the local Galach. So on one occasion the Galach was complaining about different things in Yiddishkeit. So he said, I forgot to read the whole story. He was complaining, why when the Yidin down, why do they scream so loud? And by the Goyim, the funerals are very becoming. So at the end of the neighbors had said, our God is much older than your God. It's hard of hearing already. Your God is a young guy. So he can still hear. Our God, we have to scream loud. Then the second time, I forgot already what it was, also had such a shock. Then he said, the third time about the funerals, and that I agree, I'd rather attend 1,000 non-Jewish funerals than attend one Jewish funeral. I don't enjoy Jewish funerals either. But that was used to have discussions with the local Galach. Yeah. So the Smag writes that they encourage people. They used to go around encouraging people to wear tefillin. So in the Sefer Hasidim, he writes, encourage the people they should wear talus. They didn't wear talus. They only wear talus on Shabbos Yom Tov. Middle of the week, they wouldn't wear talus. So the Sefer Hasidim says that when Daniel has the vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is the old man with the long white hair and with the white garment, Levushi Kitlak Chiver, his malbush was white as snow, Kitlak like Shelag Chiver. So he says that malbush was a talus. The Ribbono Shel Olam was wearing a white talus. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You should wear a white talus. You shouldn't have. Now a lot of people have all kinds of psychedelic talus and all kinds of colors. So the Mishnah Berurah says in the Ramah, the minhag is only wear white. So there's one reason I'll be Nigla, and then there's a reason I'll be Kabbalah, because that's the Rabbanu Shalom's talis. And Daniel, when he had the vision of the Rabbanu Shalom, he was wearing a bushy kitlak, he was wearing a white talis. So we should wear a white talis like the Rabbanu Shalom. So they said, Hasidim encourages everyone, they should wear a talis every day, not to be mevazah, the malbush of the Rabbanu Shalom. And they went around tumbling that people, this was in the days of the Balei Atesis, they didn't wear talis every day. Strictly speaking, you're not mechuyev to wear a talis. If you're wearing a four-corner garment, then you're obligated to put on tzitzit. If you don't wear a four-corner garment, you're not obligated. But the Balei Atesis introduced the practice, you should always wear an abakampus all day long, to put yourself into a chiyuv, to be machnis yourself into a chiyuv.
Where is the Malach
of the Chiyuv? Al-Kitena. That's why we wear talis kutin, yeah. Well, in days of Al-Kitena was like this. In days of Al-Kitena, the Gemara says there's one of the Amorim. In the summertime, he went out of his way to wear different kind of clothes. In the wintertime, he went out of his way to wear vice or different clothes. And he never wore an abakampus. If you don't wear an abakampus, you're not mechuyev to wear tzitzit. So the Malach came and he said, we're going to punish you. So he said, what do you mean? What do you punish? I didn't do anything wrong. You're not mechuyev? I never made a pidyon aden. My first child is a girl. No. So he's going to punish me. I didn't do pidyon aden. I'm not mechuyev in pidyon aden. So he said, you want mechuyev to wear tzitzit? If you're wearing a four-corner garment, you have to put on tzitzit. So the Malach said, no, but you're going out of your way. You're going out of your way to pati yourself, because normal people, the Zman HaGemara did wear. You're going to wear four-corner garments. The Zman HaZeh, normal people do not wear. In the stores, in the regular clothing stores, they don't sell four-corner garments. So the Orthodox Jews go out of their way to be machnis themselves into a chiyuv. But that's not exactly the same as the Gemara by Rav Kitena, that the Malach said is going to come and punish him. Because by us, we don't go out of our way to pater ourselves. The Amishadu is, we encourage people to go out of their way to become a chiyuv, to put on it. So you have in the days of the Rishonim, the days of the Balei Atesis, that's Hamainam didn't always wear talis. Strictly speaking, it's really a Midas Chassidus. And the Tefillin, a lot of them didn't wear either because of the issue of, like we cut it down to the bare minimum, so they cut it down further. They didn't even do the bare minimum. They didn't even wear Tefillin at all. So the Smak has a famous drasha that all of the latest ones call. The Smak has a famous drasha that he says we have three mitzvahs that are labeled by the Torah as an oath. You have Tefillin as an oath, and Bris Milah as an oath, Oz Bris Kodesh, and Shabbos as an oath. And every person has to, every man, by women it doesn't stick, every Jewish man has to have two oases. He says, Al-Fishnai made him nothing though. Every Jewish man has to have two oases. So on the weekdays you have Tefillin with the Milah. And on Shabbos, when you don't have the, when you have Shabbos, you don't need the Tefillin, so you have the Bris Milah, and you have the Shabbos. So the Avnei Nezer explained in the smog, this is one of the drushes that he gave to the Balabatim when he traveled around to encourage them all that they should wear tefillin every day. So he gave a whole drush about the two Alpi Shnai made him Yachim Dava. The Avnei Nezer, when he gave over this drush, he said it over differently. He said when we try to identify an Aveda, so you have to have Simonim. So there are three kinds of Simonim. If you have a Simon Muvik, I lost the Mona Lisa. There's only one Mona Lisa in the whole wide world. So if someone found it, and I can prove that I'm the rightful owner, so I get it back. There's only one. Okay. Let's say I lost Agimara Erevin. It doesn't have my name in it. The only sheet is binding Erevin. So who says that it's my Gemara? What's the sinner? Unless I have, in my handwriting, it says over here, Shechter, and I have in my handwriting comments written all over, underlined and everything. So that's Mamish and Simon Mubik. Everybody knows. Someone found the Gemara, and I say, it's my Gemara, I lost it, I give him Simonim. I tell him what it says on every page in my handwriting. I can show him how I write my handwriting. So that's a Simon Mubik. So you get it back with a Simon Mubik. What if you say, I lost the Gemara Erevin. So that's not it, that's a Simon Garua. There are 1,000 students, have Gemara Erevin. Everybody's learning Erevin, that's a Simon Garua. Or the Gemara talks about, let's say, a woman is married and the husband is lost, and then we find a dead body, and we're trying to put two and two together to identify, is that her husband? So she says, my husband was tall, and this guy, tall and thin. His body is tall and thin. The Gemara says, one quarter of the people in the world are tall and thin. So 25% are tall and fat. 25% are short and fat. 25% are short and skinny. So just because he found a tall, thin body, and her husband is missing, he was tall and thin, doesn't that all mean? That's a sin in Garua. That's not a sin. But what happens if you have a Simon and Tzoy? What if you have He had a growth. I had a growth over here. A growth over here. Some kind of a simen
birthmark,
something like that. But then it's a shame where the simen is good to identify a dead body. So we pass in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchus Agunis, after Agunis, by Shabbos Aveda, we say simen tzoi is good by the Rabbana. You get back an Aveda on simen tzoi. But by Meis Baila, by Heter Agunis, we say if you have two simanim tzoiim, it adds up to a simen moving. If you have two simanim bluim, it doesn't add up to anything. You say he's short and fat, and he was wearing a watch and had tefillin in his talizekel. A lot of people, the boat sank, and a lot of people drowned, and you found a dead body, and it was a short, fat person with a talus and tzum. There are a lot of people like that, short and fat, with talus and tzum. It doesn't mean anything. You can have many simanim gruim, don't add up to a simanim mtsoim. But if you have two simanim mtsoim, that adds up to a simanim moving. So that's what Avni Nezer says, that the pasuk in Tehillim says, Dora Malchus Toisi Kisteh Oyveid, that sometimes a person gets lost in this world, he loses his identity. He forgets that he's a Yid. He forgets that he's a Bada Lamokim. So the Bada Shalom gives us two simanim and tzoyim that should add up to a simon mubik. We shouldn't forget who we are. We should be able to identify Hakara. We should be able to identify who we are. We shouldn't be Toisi Kisar even. So that's what he says. It's not exactly the way the Smak said it. That's what he says. That every Jewish man has to have two simanim and tzoyim, namely, and the weekdays, the bris milah with the tefillin, and on Shabbos, you have the Shabbos with the bris milah. So you have two simonim, and some that will prevent him from getting lost. He will be able to identify himself. Anyway, that's what the Shagazari says again. That if you are like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Shabbos, the yontav, Rabbis, man, tefillin means that there's an Issa. Just like Lila, there's an Issa. You're not allowed to wear tefillin by Lila. So Shabbos, the yontav, there's an Issa. You're not permitted to wear tefillin on Shabbos, the yontav. But if you are like Rabbi Akiva, you're exempt from Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're putter from talis and tefillin. You're putter from tefillin, but it doesn't mean that there's an Issa.
For Atzala purposes,
that's what the Gemara is in the middle of discussing. When is it? When is one in violation of Bal Tesif, and when not?
About generally speaking.
No, if there's an Issa, then you're not allowed to put it on for Shabbos. But if there's no Issa...
The Gemara is talking about Shabbos, putting it on one pair, two pair, but if there's an Issa, there's not the first pair.
That's what we're discussing. You're not allowed to put it on for Atzala either. But if you hold that Shabbos is the Yom Tov, Lav's Matron, that there's no Issa, like a Bekiva hold, just that if you don't want to, you don't have to. But then if you put on tefillin, that would be okay. There's no Issa. So then you have the Shabbos, about Tesis. If you're going to put on two Shalyads, Atusha Russia would there be a violation about this? So that's what the Mar gave all of these possible suggestions. Okay. Then we will stop here. In the middle of the studio fill it up. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, there's a machlokes satanoim. How many sforim are there in Torah? We usually assume that a chamish or chumish is there, that's why we call Galatians a chumish, it's one fifth, and shmaris is a chumish, the equal is a chumish one fifth. And then there are another 19 svarim in Kisra Kodesh, adds up to 24, chavdala Kisra Kodesh. But the Gemara says, speaking, that's not the way we pass. And we really pass in that there are 7 svarim in the Torah's Moshe, because Bamidbar is divided into 3 svarim. The whole Bamidbar up until Bahibit Soho, alright? And then the two psukim that had 85 letters, the Tehei Oisiyas Bar-Ibn Sohar, and is a separate sefer. And then after by Yom Kim Senanim, from that point on, that's another sefer. So you can't really use the word Chumash anymore. The word Chumash means a fifth. So it's a misnomer. That's the way we talk for Halacha. That there were 7 Chumashim, it's a bad word. There are 7 Tzorim in Teres Moshe. There are 7 Tzorim in Teres Moshe, plus another 19, so it's not Chav Dalit. It's really the 26th one. And that's what the Gemara learns out from this. By Ibn Sahar, the Gemara Yoyma, added up together, has 85 letters. So the Gemara says, the smallest sefer that you can possibly have is 85 letters. So let's say you have a Chumash Bereshis that was rubbed out so much, you hardly have anything left, but you have 80 Pehei Oseas. Yesh Bola Lakat Pehei Oseas. If it has still left 85 letters, still has the status of Metamina Sayadai. Still considered Kisri HaKadosh. That's interesting. We have in the Sefer Torah Nunim Hafuchim, before and after these two psukim, to separate these two psukim from the rest of the Chumash Bamidbar. So the one Tana says that you should really have had four blank lines, like between Bereshis and Shmos, and between Shmos and Vayikra, in Vayikra and Bamidbar. You have four blank lines to indicate that it's a separation of a Sefer. See here, Talachon Moshe Nisim, instead of having four blank lines, you have Yunifah Fuchim to indicate that these two Psukim constitute a separate Sefer. Okay. The other Tana says, no, there are five Chumashim, Chamishu Chumashitah, five Chumashim. The Tzotzik says in Mishle, Chachmas Banta Besa Chatzva Amudei HaShiva, that the Chachmas HaTeira is based on seven pillars. So the Medrash says in seven pillars are the seven Svarim and Teras Moshe. In Bamidbar constitutes three. That's the accepted opinion. There are a lot of piyutim which refer to the seven Sitorim and Teras Moshe. That's really the accepted opinion. So the Shah is what are these Nurim Hafuchim supposed to represent? So a funny term, Nurim Hafuchim. So in one of the Svarim, the Yalkut Haruveni, there's the Yalkut Shemaini, which is a Likut of Midrash. And Yaakov HaRaveni is a Likut of all kinds of Medrash Pliyas, funny things. So he says that the word Nun is the Aramaic for a fish. So Nunim HaFuchim represents the fact that
Nun is a cold fish.
Nun is a fish? Yeah. So Nunim HaFuchim is the Gemara of the Zohar that talks about kosher fish have to have fins and scales. So the Gemara says that there are certain rivers in Bavel where all the fish are kosher. You don't have to look. With your eyes closed, you know that all the fish are kosher. Gemara says, why? Why is it that all the fish over there are kosher? So the Gemara has different suggestions. So if I don't explain that, the non-kosher fish can't grow in that kind of sand. Okay. But one of the suggestions, till the Gemara comes to that conclusion, the Gemara has a suggestion. Could it be because the water flows so rapidly and the kosher fish have scales that protect them, and the non-kosher fish don't have any scales to protect them, so they would get killed? But the Gemara said that's not correct. That's not the reason why. Then the middle Gemara has a possibility. Maybe only the kosher fish have the ability to swim against the stream, and the non-kosher fish can only swim with the stream. So the Gemara says it's also not true. That's not the reason why. But at one point the Gemara was suggesting that. So that's what this Yalkut HaRaveni on Parshas Bahareischa quotes such a suggestion. That the Nurim HaFuchim refers to the fish that can swim against the Jew has to be sturdy. A Jew has to be strong that he can be able to go against the tide. The whole tide in the world is secular and Abu Dhabi and everything against the Hashem al Mashiach, everything against the Turk. And the Jew has to, like Rav Soloveitchik has in one of his drushes, that in the morning we say two brachas. We say, no, somebody has kayach, the Rav Shalom gives people kayach physical strength. Then you say, I just saw the Gevurah. What's the difference between Kayach and Gevurah? Then you say, Gevurah means heroism. The Rav Shalom gives Klal Yisrael the ability to act like a hero, to fight against the whole world. Like Avram HaYivri. That's in the middle of the drasha he has about Avram HaYivri. Kol HaLukur Me'evar Echad Ruli Eber Hashem. The whole world is going in one direction. Avram Avinu has the courage to fight with the whole world. The Jews, the religious Jews, stand against the whole world. So that's what the Yalkut HaRaveni quotes some would say, that the Nurim HaFuchim represented. That's the symbol of the whole Torah. That's the symbol. This is a Sefer Torah B'Fnei Atzmei, this way. Because the backwards fish, the fish that's swimming upstream against the tide, represents what the Orthodox Jew is all about. Doesn't mean that the Jews always have to do stupid, crazy things. But we always have to be Amir Al HaMishma, to have a very strong backbone, and to fight, to go against the tide. We have to have the heroic ability to fight against the tide.
I believe the word shows in a place that they were needling Rav Amnon because he was fighting against the halacha.